I've been hurting. Brother Scott says, you got any notes? I said, yeah, they're right here and they're right here. And so I wanted to go over Exodus 34. It has been an interesting week trying to walk some, ride a bike some, start doing leg presses and leg extensions and all that. And you know what's bothering me the most right now? Miss Jamie had to put up with me all day yesterday. My hips, sciatica, my lower back. Isn't that crazy? She'll tell you, last night I was so fidgety after we helped Bensie move. We were bending over and doing things. Oh, you did too much. If I hear that from one more person, I will punch you in the mouth and knock 5 teeth out. So, Brother Ray, don't you say it.
I said it.
Did you say it? When did you say it?
I told Harris.
Oh.
I did.
It's a good thing I didn't hear it.
Love you,
hey, Mama says, Mama says, if you stop, you die. How many of y'all that are complaining about me doing too much, do too much on your own too? So shut up. How's that? All right, Brother Ray, we got to get spiritual. Go ahead, sir. Mm-hmm. Together, Lord, for your honor and glory. Amen. If you would, verse number 10 of chapter 34. We just looked through as Brother Ray takes up the offering this morning, we just looked through the attributes of God that are mentioned in the law. One of the greatest things about God is he loves you and I. Now, I will tell you that God also hates. And we know that from Psalm chapter 5 and many other passages. Esau have I hated, and Jacob have I loved. As we look at verse number 10, and he said, behold, I make a covenant. The Lord's made a covenant here. Before all thy people, I will do marvels. We'll get into that word here in just a moment. But such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation, and all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do with thee. That word terrible is very true. Unfortunately, those on the other side did not see it as God's work. They saw it as God's wrath. And I think it's very important that we understand. And babe, we just got a note from David. Y'all pray for David. Matthias has influenza A. Yeah, so. Wonder if I'll be babysitting.
Probably.
Oh, I'm tough and strong. Are you kidding me? Influenza A. Pfft. I scum. I'm just kidding. And bring it on. And I should, let me put my phone on do not disturb here. Oh, it's on sleep now. That don't mean anything. Rachel can still text me. I don't know how you do that. Oh, that's right, because I got you on all my different focuses. Beloved, God's done some to the world, to the lost man. God has done some horrible things. What, ma'am?
Did you get that? Maybe I should take your phone, because he put that in the plan.
Yeah, I got it shut down. No, I got it shut down. That's the advantages of having an Apple product, Brother Scott.
What?
You a burned out light bulb? So what? That's where mine's at now. We've been arguing about Apple versus non-Apple. And in my opinion, no, it's just a fact. Apple's a better product. Hey, beloved, so this, we after looking at his attributes, do you realize he's starting to do, he's bringing the covenant up that he made with them. Here's the first question. Who broke the first covenant? Man did. And if you wanted to, you could go back to the Adamic covenant. Now, there are covenants, there are dispensations of time in the Bible. But we don't look at them as other men do. Understand, covenants and dispensations that men talk about, where they go wrong in them is they say God deals with man differently. That is hogwash. That is a lie. Salvation is always by grace through faith in any dispensation or covenant of man. Covenant theology says that God deals with Adam up to Moses differently in salvation. Covenant theology says, now this I don't believe, the Bible doesn't teach it. That's why I don't believe it. They say that from Moses to the cross, man was dealt with by a mixture of works and grace. But that can't be so, and without really getting into it really deep, they use Abraham, or they use David. And the Bible tells us in Genesis that Abraham believed God, and it was counted into righteousness for him. He believed. The Bible's very clear, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's an act of faith. And by the way, the faith that you place in Jesus Christ, he has to put in you. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You get faith from nowhere but through the Holy Spirit of God as he works the word of God in you, believer. Are you understanding that? Faith is of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verses 16 and 20. So there's plenty of scripture to prove that salvation is by grace through faith from Adam to the end. Does that make sense? Where a covenant theologian goes wrong is they say that salvation is used different. And then some, even not all the covenant theologians, we call them, will believe that the church is a substitution for Israel now. Substitutionary theology is corrupt. It's a devilish doctrine. We do not. We are the church. And I don't understand. And any man that would stand and say they understand it all is a liar. How am I going to be the bride of Christ? How is Jesus Christ going to marry me? I don't. What it is, it's an illustration to best understand, because I love Jamie Lynn. I want the whole world to know. And in that illustration, you know, a lot of times it's just her and I sitting in the front room, and there's a lot of times we just sit there and talk, or she's over on the computer writing up an email, or I'm watching a video on my iPad, or we're watching something on TV together, or like yesterday, went to Costco and she's holding my left hand because my right hand's got to have my cane. I just keep this around to make her feel better. You believe that, don't you? The fact of the matter is, Jesus Christ is like a husband to the church. And I see my wife in a lot of different ways. I see her as my wife, the biblical sense of it, because we both said I do, with God and man as the witnesses. And it's awesome. You know, we've gotten over that empty nest thing and kind of enjoy the empty nest. And with that is the relationship that Jesus Christ has with you and me. As a whole. In the Bible, we're understanding that the church, this idea of universal and invisible, I have struggles with. Because the Bible teaches us local. But then it also teaches us the body of Christ. And as you know, the body is not made up of hands. It's made up of different parts. It's not made up of feet. It's not made up of toes and fingers. But we know that the body of Christ is made up of a heart, arms, legs. And with that in mind, we all have a different job. The foot cannot do the job of the hand. Okay? And what does make us different from all of other God's creation is that we have a moving thumb. If you ever noticed on your dog or your cat, they don't have a thumb. But they use their mouth to grab with, correct? Opie, when I come up and see him, we'll get home in a little bit, I put my hand out there and he's licking it, and he'll kind of bite on a little bit. That's his way of saying, man, I'm glad to see you. Of course, he's got the toy in his mouth and he'll get up on the couch and he's so excited to see me, you can hear his tail against the couch. I think that's why I like a dog a little bit better than a cat. Now, I've known a lot of cats. And they'll come up and rub against your leg. We had a cat growing up on the farm there. Was it Pee-wee? No. They got it from my brother Chris. And the cat's name was Cream Puff. It was a male cat. It was beautiful. Had kind of a beautiful tan look to it. Just beautiful with white through it. And that cat when it would rub against your leg, it said, pick me up. And we'd pick it up and just pat it. And I was always silly enough to pat it the wrong, you know, the other, that kind of thing. Hey. We had a three-legged cat. That was Pee-wee. Pee-wee, Miss Karis, Pee-wee, an animal got to it. And the front leg was just barely hanging on. And it came to Mom and Dad's back porch. And that Dad and Mom spent money to get it all taken care of. And Pee-wee was the best mouse hunter on the land with three legs. And he taught us a lot about those little things. And when we start looking through the scriptures, not only is my wife my wife, as the Bible teaches, she's my best friend. Been through it. This morning she got the ice together for me. And I appreciated that. I iced my knee down before I come over. This morning she put my socks on for me. I'm struggling with putting socks on and stuff with this one knee. And I got my right foot. She put some lotion on it. And that's my best friend. But then the Lord Jesus sees us as a best friend. Now this isn't even part of what I want to get into. But the marvelous things that God does. He wants to be your very best friend. Now, I didn't say your only friend, but he ought to be the only friend that you really go to for any conversation or any kind of decisions, or just tell him about it, as the song says. The first Sunday back, Rachel had to sing, "I Must Tell Jesus." I love that song. I must tell Jesus all of my sorrows. Oh, what a blessing. But not only that, In this idea of looking at the church and the marvelous things, God wanted to do marvelous things for Israel.
That's right.
Verse 11, "Observe thou that which I command thee this day." There's an obedience factor. There's an obedience factor. There have been times that Jamie will have this or that. She'll say, babe, let me handle it, please, because you're not seeing the full picture. And there's times that she sees the full picture and I don't. And so we work hand in hand because it is one flesh. And when we see the Lord Jesus as our best friend, we also see that. That's a marvelous thing that he's doing for us. But he mentions in verse 11, "Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee." And Jamie and I have driven things out of our home that we don't want there. Because we've seen the destruction of many things. I've seen alcohol. I've seen alcohol leave bruises on other individuals that the alcoholic is part of. But I've also seen in my own life the destruction of sugar. I was telling him at PT on Friday, I said, "Guys, I feel fat." And Matt says, "You're fine. You've just been sitting around more. You're not moving more." He says, "That's my job. My job is to get you back to where you're at." And he literally told me Friday, he said, "Dave, give me 60 days. We'll have you back because we've already worked on it." David's in a hurry. "I'm tired of being in my chair." And if you move a lot, you get sick of being in your chair. But when it gets back to the idea of alcohol and then sugar on top of it, that's why we have such a real pandemic in America. That's why I think McDonald's fries, which I can't eat no more because of the motor oil that they cook it in, they ought to go back to lard. I think there was a company that just went back to lard, and JFK Jr., I can't remember what company that was right offhand. What was that?
Steak and Shake.
Steak and Shake. And don't they have the bottomless fries? Or is that Red Robin? That's Red Robin, isn't it? Yeah. You know, I don't know about you. I like a good French fry. But there's a problem with that even. There's a problem with that for me. And really for every human being. Too much taters is a problem. Amen. You know why we have taters and rice? Is to fill the void in the stomach. That's why you ever notice if you go to a Chinese restaurant or Mexican restaurant, you get tons of rice? Okay. You get tons of fries? And a little bit of meat? Well, there's a reason for that. They're keeping their bill down, that's why you get breads and salads. Filler. So when the real meal comes along, you say, why are you getting on this? We have to look at this. When we look at the law, Christian, understand you need the law. You need the law. You need somebody telling you what to do. Otherwise, we will follow the flesh more than we'll follow God. Now, I'm not putting this back under the law, thank God. But the law is still the schoolmaster in the book of Galatians. We just don't like what the schoolmaster's teaching us. Getting back to observing these things, behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. You notice how they're a bunch of ites? You have ites that you deal with. You do. Financial ites. Right? Health ites. Yesterday, I tried an experiment. I like to use ibuprofen and Tylenol when I'm hurting and then also to get rid of swelling. But yesterday I said, you know what, the meloxicam, I'm not liking it because it does kind of give me a little bit of a sour stomach. And it takes a couple hours and it just makes me ugly. Oh, by the way, I'm going to have to end Sunday school. This is time for my 10:30 nap. Usually about 10, 10:30, I'm taking a nap. And I get a text from Brother Scott, are you awake or how are you feeling? Right, Brother Scott? I went back to the meloxicam and I didn't want to. But I tell you, Jamie, I can feel what it's doing. My hips and stuff aren't bothering me right now. When we look at the best friend, the wife aspect of it, we have these commands and stuff. Jamie helps me remember and remind David of the effects of alcohol on the body, the effects of sugar on the body, the effects of taters on the body. And who doesn't love a good tater? The problem is with the tater is the bacon bits and the butter and the sour cream that go in it. Amen. Come on, anybody else like their tater like that? I do. Sweet tater like that on top of it. It's a comfort food. That's why they call it that. So my best friend helps me with that. As I see God, God does not give us the law to beat us up. He's that best friend to teach us how to live. There are a lot of things we can live without. We helped Bensie move yesterday. And I told Jamie, I said, babe, we probably need to get rid of half the stuff we got. And then I had somebody come by and want to give me a hot tub. So this afternoon we're going to go get it and see if it's even worth fixing. And Jamie says, that's just what we need. Some more junk in the yard. And you know what? That's very true in that. Because I've had nothing but junk given to me over the years. But it might be a simple fix. I was talking to those that know, and they say, yeah, it could be a very simple fix. My best friend. But then not only as a best friend, there's a lot of other things. I still see Jamie as my girlfriend. I get to kidding with her. She'll hold my hand. I say, you better be careful. My wife's going to be upset with you touching her man. You know, friends, I wonder how many times, instead of holding Jesus' hand, we hold another woman's hand or another man's hand. That's why I've said in the past, daddies, hold your daughter's hands in the mall. Hold her hand. Used to do that with Morgan a lot. And now she's found Matt's hand to hold his hand. And I do miss my little girl. Of course, she'll always, always be daddy's girl. Brother Matt says, God forbid you die. I don't know what I'm going to do with Morgan if that ever happened. So, well, Matt, that's where you love her. Put her under good preaching, which they're not. I bring these things out to get you to understand how the law can affect every part of our life. But to also understand that is for your life. Well, they're not living like me. Well, that might be a good thing. Amen? Well, it ain't your business. It ain't your business. But your business is to pray for them. When you get perfect, then you can open your mouth and give them a piece of your mind. But until you get 1,000% holy, let God work on you and you just leave everybody else alone. The pastor's job is to exhort. Pastor's job is to correct. The Bible's job, and even the pastor needs to understand he cannot do the work of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's very evident. Brother Ray was sitting in the office boo-hooing, went through a whole box of Kleenex just because Michigan Wolverines decided not to win. They played a better team. That's just all there is to it. But they made it this far. I think that's pretty good. They made it further than Illinois and Indiana did. And Illinois was picked to really go a long ways. Beloved, today, Observe thou that which, verse 11, I have commanded thee. Behold, I drive out before thee. Verse 12, take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant. See this? This covenant with the inhabitants of the land. God made a covenant with Abraham. And God made Abraham sleep. And God went through that covenant because that covenant is based on God only, not on Abraham and God together. The Adamic covenant, Adam, he made with Adam. That covenant was not made with God and Adam. That covenant was made based on God. God's way, God's word, and God's working. Even in the marriage vows, we mentioned until death do us part. Who's in control of that? God. It's amazing as you grow older, you finally start looking back and you see the hand of God everywhere. You know, in high school, I was, they didn't like me unless I was scoring or, you know, tackling or hitting a home run or something like that. And most people, they don't like you unless you are doing stuff for them. And I was very much a loner. Had a couple girlfriends here and there, but nothing big. And when I went to camp in 86, I just finished my junior year. I had no plans of finding a girlfriend. But I didn't look for a girlfriend. I found a wife at camp that summer, a best friend. God knows what he's doing. A lot of times when we know what God's word says, we'll go up to a certain point. All right, God, I can't go no further. When God says, no, 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 I want you to go further. An old preacher said this, God is here. The preacher stands here. Most Christians today are over here, away from God. The preacher said this. He said, you're here. What I'm trying to do is teach and preach so that you get here. Then as you teach and preach and are faithful to the house of God, that you get here. And then as you go on in life, you get closer and closer. You know, I have no doubt in my mind that there are people in our church that are closer to God than their own pastor is. I have no doubt in my mind that in churches that I've been around over these years, over these 50 years, there's church members, there's God over here, and there's church members here. And the preacher, he's over here. When we were down south a lot of times and in ministry and doing this and that, a lot of the preachers at the camp meetings would come up and babe, you remember this. There was one preacher that we knew, one of the McNeese boys. Oh, I got this truck that we just redone and we got this and this and we got this and this and this and this. You see what I'm doing? And I've heard preachers here lately, especially some of the old garbage that I used to hear back in the 80s and 90s, that if they didn't get certain offering, they were upset. I don't know about you, God can do a whole lot more we can do with $50 from a righteous heart, $10 from a righteous heart, than he can from $1 million from an unrighteous heart. Do you understand where I'm coming from with that? There are times that as a pastor, you want to get people closer and closer. But they take three steps forward and two steps back. And that's what God's dealing with here in Exodus 34. Verse 12, take heed to thyself, thou lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. A snare. Well, I don't know about you, but I've ushered in some snares. Anybody else like that? What's a snare? How about a bear trap? How about a bird trap? Downstairs, as you know, I built a golf simulator, and I've been teaching the grandkids, and there's been others that have come, and Glenn, for example, David's friend Glenn, and I'm hearing good things out of Glenn, who used to go to church. Where? I don't know. I've talked with him about his salvation, and Pastor David, Jesus is my Savior, and you can't argue with that statement, and if you do, you're foolish for doing that. Anyway, it's been a gospel tool. The martial arts has been a gospel tool. The track is a gospel tool. Our life ought to be centered around the ministry. If I get old and can't pastor no more, we'll find a new pastor. But right now, I'm still young and spry. But when I can't do it anymore, we bring on another man that would see everything as a ministry. How do I give the gospel more? How do I grow up Christians more? You know the thing that's been eating at me the most out of all of this, Miss Jamie? Is not being there to start up martial arts classes with scripture and prayer. Because I also look at it as another preaching time. They have been doing, you know why? Because their mom and dad and their pastor and the church folk, the pastor's wife, the first lady of the church, we've been grooming them. We've been raising them to put God first.
Amen.
And Ray and Rachel, I'm proud of y'all. Y'all have done an awesome job with those boys. Having the Wolverine stuff in your house is the only poison in your house. Beloved, are you seeing how the law works here? How this covenant works? A lot of times we'll read, and I can go through, and we will here in a moment, but look at verse 13. But ye shall destroy their altars. There ought to be an extreme extreme destruction of anything that's not of God in your life. Pray for Jeff Hilbert. Pray for Jeff Hilbert. Pray for Tim. I forgot his last name. Gabe. In talking with him over my knee, Dave, when are you going to be ready to come mow? Of course, the grass isn't quite ready. You think you're going to be able to spin bunkers? Yeah, but I'm just going to tell Miss Jamie I'm doing it. Because you have to rake the bunker when you're done. That'll be funny. She'll say, yeah, he'll be paying for it, and I'll have to pay for it, listening to him gripe and complain about him doing too much. I won't. Karis, leave me alone. Mind your own business. Oh, here. MYO. Oh, I don't have it. I don't have my card with me, Ray. MYOB. Beloved, destroying the altar. There's some great things. The other day, an old video came up of Loretta Lynn singing Coal Miner's Daughter. Look, I know that that's what they would consider secular, but it went back. It went back to being forced to watch Lawrence Welk before the Grand Ole Opry. And then Carol Burnett afterwards. And Tim Conway getting them all to cry and laughing. What did that do? That reminded me there is still things, even from the past, they're coming up today. You're seeing in the country western, if you ask me, in the last 30, 40 years, they destroyed country music for the most part. There's so much soft pornography in the songs. And it's a shame that they have to verbally tell a story like that when it used to be about the dog. And I know the old preachers used to say, if you play a country music song backwards, you get your wife back, you get your dog back, you get your truck, whatever. The other day, I was reminded of the song Gambler by Kenny Rogers. Man, I used to love that song. Or The Coward of the County. And then I reminded, and I got to learn it, maybe that'll be the next song for anniversary I sing to Jamie. Lady, you're my, right? Y'all remember that song that Kenny Rogers sang? I'm your knight in shining armor, and I love you, right? I didn't even practice that. That was pretty good. These scriptures are given to us to know how to walk and live. How to love. You need the law, beloved. There's common sense in it. You need grace and mercy more. But there's things to be learned through this. As we're looking through chapter 34, remember in verse 14 was our key here. For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods. Now, many of you would say, oh, that's a cuss word. No, it's not. Our society has made biblical words rude, shrewd, rude, no, socially unacceptable. The word ass, for example. That's a beast of burden. That's what the King James English called it. Now, I do know there are individuals that resemble this beast of burden. I have no problem with that, okay? They're smart and they're dumb. See, dumb, smart, and I'm trying to remember the other ones we like to use. Smart aleck, right? Dumb. or holes. What does that mean? You stink. There's sewage coming out of you. Beloved, this word whoring is not a cuss word. This is a description of what our flesh does after things that it likes. Did you know that? And our society is full of it to do what? Our society is full of so much noise, so you never hear the soft, still voice of God. This morning, though, let's get back to verse number 10. I'm almost out of time. And he said, "Behold, I make a make a covenant before all thy people. I will do marvels." Now we just looked at his attributes. He's always powerful. He's all powerful. And he's always present, and he's all present. And how many times in our life has he been that way? He is compassionate and kind, but he's also a God of condemnation and wrath. Well, you were as a parent if you raised kids. Well, what makes you better than God? Well, I don't want to talk about condemnation and wrath. Yeah, but you just spanked your child for lying to you. What happens is we say, again, rules for thee, but not for me. That's what man's flesh does. As we look at the law, and he mentions doing marvels. What marvels did he do for them? All right, so we're in Deuteronomy, or Exodus 34. What has he done in the last 33 chapters? What did he do in chapter 1? In chapter 1, he's got Moses being groomed. You know, he was a basket case, like most Wolverine fans are, right? Wouldn't you agree? But he was a basket case. He was. And then how did God work that out? Well, then his sister Miriam's down at the water, and Pharaoh's daughter. Then, as Miriam says, I know someone who can take care of this baby. Who was it? His own mom. Could you imagine that? Mom's putting your newborn baby in a basket on the water, where there's crocodiles. Egypt doesn't have alligators. They have aggressive predators in them. And God kept him safe so that Pharaoh's daughter would find him. And then God is so gracious and kind that he allowed Mama to nurse him. That's a marvel. You know, one of the greatest marvels that happened in my life was the bus picking us up and taking us to church. Telling us we weren't supposed to cuss in church. Telling us don't pull a little girl's hair. No. We're not getting the little... Eat little Debbie cakes. See, I'm ruined. I'm telling you. In the goodness of their heart, they ruined me. Beloved, are you seeing where the law is going this morning? You've had marvelous works done in you. Miss Catherine's marvelous work, God got her to a point where she started coming and seeing this handsome preacher. Go ahead, just say okay. She says, think of the marvelous things that God's done for you. I have 3 healthy children and a gorgeous wife. First time I met Brother Chedina, Miss Jamie was with me. He says, "Buddha, how did you get such a beautiful wife?" I said, "You looking at my woman like that, boy? I'll whoop you 7 ways come Sunday now." Look at the marvels that God's done for you. Think about the marvels that he's done for you. Now, I'm still upset about February 28th, 1979. But it's amazing when I see all the interviews with Larry Bird and Irvin Johnson. And the laughter that they have now. They didn't hate each other. But as competitors on a basketball court, I'm going to plow through you to beat you. Miss Karis, leave me alone. As Steve Gruber, one of the radio personalities, Steve Gruber, he told me years ago, he says, "Man, Brother Dave, Pastor David, you have issues. You need to get over those things." Well, you do too, so you need to get over them too. So don't give me that advice if you're not taking it, okay? There's been marvels done. Just recently here in our church, God did a marvel. We had some toilets that were backing up, and there's a real problem, and we had to jet it out a few years ago. It cost $900. This time it cost $1,250. But while John from Tri-County Plumbing was looking through the line, Brother Scott, when they put in this fiber, they messed up this drain out here. John told me, they're working on it. I'll make sure they get it, and the city will reimburse you for $1,250. That's God. That's God. You know, we have a lot of things that need to be fixed, and I can sit here and gripe and complain about what didn't get done. But when you gripe and complain about what didn't get done, it causes you to get nothing done. So you got to keep moving forward and plowing through. God will do marvelous things if we just get back and let him do them. But that's contingent on you and I keeping this covenant with him. Verse 14, for thou shalt worship no other God. The Lord Jesus said to love the Lord thy God, and that's what all the commandments and all the law hinges off of, that one thought. If you think about it, to love him means that you're not going to have another God before him. I think it would be really, 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 really foolish and stupid to have another girlfriend or another wife. And I won't go into detail what Miss Jamie has threatened me over the years with. But I think you know exactly what I'm saying. But not only that, David's heart could not break Jamie's heart. That's how I know God will never sin against us. But how often do we sin against him? Now, I understand we can sin against him unwittingly. The Bible talks about sins of ignorance. But how many of my sins a day against him are done just out of full outright rebellion? This morning for Sunday school, he's done marvelous things for us. We ought to just take his word and apply it as best we can. And even then, you got to ask God for help, because your flesh don't like it. Flesh don't like it. Father, thank you for Sunday school, and I pray it's been a help to us this morning. Thank you for the marvelous things you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. I hate that clock.